raised up in the house, in Abraham's house. And he said to his servant, I want you to go back to my land of Mesopotamia. And there I want you to find a wife for my son Isaac. And the servant said, well, I'll do that. And but what if this woman doesn't want to come back with me? Should you want me to take your son Isaac back to Mesopotamia and there find her? He said, no, by no means do I want you to go back to my home. I want you to bring that woman here. And he said, well, peradventure she won't come. He said, the angel of God will go before you. Don't you like that when Abraham has such faith? He said, the angel of God will go before you, and he will prepare the way. And but if in the event that you have done all these things, you've gone there, and you have sought out a wife for my son, and she won't come with you, then you are free from this oath. But nevertheless, still don't take my son back to where I came. God has promised us the land of Canaan, and that's where I wanted to stay. So I just looked up about the distance from to Canaan back to Mesopotamia where he was, and it's close to 500 miles. So can you imagine going? So he takes 10 camels. The servant takes 10 camels loaded with gifts and different things, and he heads back towards where Abraham was born, came out of Ur of the Chaldees or wherever he was over in that area, Mesopotamia, and he heads back there. And so he has a prayer when he gets into that place, and he said, he stops by a well, and at this well, he said, Lord God, bless my master this day, and bless me to be able to find a wife for Isaac, his son. Abraham has been blessed so often, and I pray that you would continue to bless him and bless me in this position that he's put me in. So, as he's saying that prayer, he said, and this would be a sign to me that when the women come out to the well to water their flocks and just take water back home, let the woman that I speak to, and I say, could you give me a drink of water? That she would say yes, and that she would give me a drink of water. And not only that she would say, and I will give water to your camels as well. And no sooner had the servant quit saying that than Rebecca shows up. And it must have been a spring in his heart. Because he said to her, would you give me a drink of water? And she said, of course. And so she gave a drink of water. She said, I'll tell you what, I'll water your camels here while they're here. Can you imagine how much water a camel drinks? And how many trips back and forth to that? And it's not just one camel, it's 10 camels. So she waters all 10 camels. And Abraham, she gives water to Abraham's servant. And she gives water to all the men that are with him. And so then he says to her, he said, whose daughter are you? And she said, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Nahor. And the heart of the servant must have leaped because Nahor is Abraham's brother. And so he knows that he's got his, his niece, rather. And somehow, I don't understand the first cousin's twice removed or once removed and second cousin. Anybody understand that stuff? Who's twice removed from? But anyhow, I think she's the first cousin once removed, as I read. But anyhow, so she's there, and he must be like leaping in his heart that God has prospered the way, and she tells him that. So he gives her a ring and bracelets, and she goes back, and she tells the whole household that she's met this fella, and he's asked if there's any kind of room there at the house for him to come and feed his camels and stay overnight. And so the brother hears this, Laban runs out and says to him, says, oh, blessed be the Lord, come and stay with us, and we have a provender for your horse, and we've got them for your camels, and you can stay here and your men. So they bring them back to the house, and they wash their feet, which give them water and wash their feet, which I guess is a tradition. And they again feed the camels, and they're about to put food out for the whole group, including the servant of Abraham. And he said, I'm not going to eat until I tell you why I said, well, say on. What is it? He said, I am the servant of Abraham, and God has prospered Abraham and given him wealth, given him gold and silver and servants and donkeys and camels and all the wealth. And in his later years, when he was 100 years old, his wife gave birth to their only son, Isaac. And Abraham said to me, do not take a wife for my son Isaac from the Canaanitish women, for they were heathen. He said, but go to my home, go back to my home, and there find a wife for my son Isaac. And see, that is why I'm here. And I had come this day to the well, and I had prayed to God that the first woman that would come, and I would ask for a drink of water and say, yes, I'll give you a drink, and I will water your camels as well. And no sooner had the words come out of my mouth than Rebecca, your sister, he said to Laban, came up to me, and I asked her that question, and she said, yes, I will give you to drink, and I will water your flocks as well. And so I realized then that God had prospered my way and brought me to the brethren of my master in his home, and I was so elated by that. And now tell me, will you be faithful and true to my master and allow your daughter Rebecca to come and be the wife of Isaac, my master's son? And they looked at each other, Bethuel and Laban and the others, said, well, this obviously is of God. What can we say to this? Of course, take her with you and go back and let her be blessed to be the wife of Isaac. And so he said, then they ate and they had a wonderful time of fellowship, and they went to bed that night and rose up the next morning. And the servant is all ready to head back to his master Abraham back home, and said, all right, I'm ready to go, so I'm going to take Rebecca with me. And he gave gifts to the family. And they said, well, don't take her right today. Why don't you wait maybe 10 days and let her fellowship with us? And he said, oh, please don't do this to me. God has prospered my way, and now I want to be able to take her back. And he said, well, we'll ask her what she says. And so they call Rebecca. And Rebecca comes out, and they say, will you go with this man back to Isaac and to the land of Canaan and marry Isaac? He said, yes, I am ready to go. And so they head back the 500 miles on camel. Imagine 500 mile ride. I don't know. I was trying to look up how long it takes to ride, or how much land a camel could cover in a day. And he said 25 to 30 miles. Even if it was 25 miles, would take them four times, at least 20 days to get back there. So it was 20 days going back. So this is a month and some days before they came back. And the Bible says that when they head back in, Isaac has gone out into the field to meditate. And she says, who is that? I said, that is my master's son, Isaac. And so she covers her face with a veil, and they go over, and Isaac and her meet. And it said, and they become husband and wife. And that chapter 24 ends with the phrase, and he was comforted, Isaac was comforted after the death of his mother. And so a woman is a great comfort when she has takes the place of the mother in some respects. I know some mothers don't want to hear that, but my wife does do that. And so what a beautiful romantic story. And the thing about it is, it's although I said I want to tell the story of Isaac and Rebecca, that's not the real story to me. The beautiful story here, and the one that has touched me so deeply, is the story of the servant. And the unnamed servant of Abraham, some people think it was Eliezer, but it seems that this was an unnamed servant that had done all this, a trusted servant. And what a wonderful servant he was, and what a faithful servant. And I just wanted to look at a couple moments at how this whole thing worked in the heart of the servant that went out to find this wife for Abraham. Many people have equated this servant to a type of the Holy Spirit, just as the Holy Spirit came and is preparing a bride for Christ. So the servant went off to find a wife for the son of Abraham. And so if they made the father God Abraham and the son Isaac to be Jesus, they were thinking of the Holy Spirit being the servant that went off to find a wife for the son. That's a beautiful picture. The main thing I'm thinking of is the guidance that is found for all of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. The guidance that is found in the Holy Spirit for the Christian is the key of success to the Christian life. You have some people wanting for the key of the success for Christian life, follow the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible has told us, to walk in the Spirit, and we will obviously not only not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but we will be guided. He will guide us into all truth, and He will lead us in the path that we should go. I've told you this scripture many times. I think this is one of my favorites, obviously, because it was given to me years ago when I first came to New York by the family doctor that I grew up under back in my hometown of Altoona. Get slow on that. I don't ask you that enough anymore. But again, the scripture is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. It is our trust in God that is the primary thing. Some people think that God directs everybody's path. Well, in some respects, He does. But He does not direct it in the way that He directs the path of the righteous. We also have Romans 8:28 that we are committing our way to the Lord, and He will bring it to pass. All good things will happen to those that trust God. And so we're looking to the fact that it is those that have dedicated their life to be led by the Holy Spirit that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord. It's not for them that don't love the Lord. All things don't work together for good in the sense that they're going to rejoice in that. You know, in the life of a Christian, even bad things work out for good. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Even the worst things. And I know I've preached that time again, but I really want to get that in the head of everybody. That the best thing has already happened in your life, that you have received Christ as your Savior. No matter what it is that happens in your life, if you have Christ in it, all good things are working out for you. In the end, it is going to be good. It's going to be good. It doesn't feel good all the time, but it is good because God said it's good. If God says it, I believe it. Amen. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean to your own understanding, which I've done time and again. In all your ways acknowledge Him, He will direct your path. And that also follows in that same scripture. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble myself. There's a lot of ifs in the Bible. A lot of buts in the Bible. If you will follow God, He will bless you. It's not a matter of doing things for God. It's trusting God. It's believing God. It's resting in the Lord. And this is what that servant did. He handed it over to the Lord. He prayed. He said, Lord God, bless my master and prosper my way as I go to find this bride for Isaac. The promises are to those who love the Lord. And I thank God that you love the Lord this day. Amen?
Amen.
But the phrase that I love so much, and I guess that's what I'm titling this sermon, is in one portion in Genesis 24. Let me see if I can get to that section. Stick with me. In 24, I can't get it. So the servant said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Now, we're going to just think about what that is saying. He said, I, the servant of Abraham, being in the way, the Lord led me. A couple of things I want to think about that. What is the way, and what is I being in the way really, really meaning to him? I being in the way. Now, when I looked at this, I thought it could have been that as the servant looked back over the events, he saw how he had been he looked back over, he said, rejoicingly, yes, God has prospered me and brought me in the way that led me to find Rebecca. And so he was looking in hindsight how God had led him. And he also was going as he was directed by Abraham. So Abraham set him on the path. He set him on a path to go and find a wife for him. He knew of the blessings of Abraham. Can you imagine that Abraham didn't keep this quiet to himself, that through him all nations were going to be blessed, and all of his servants and all of his household must have seen how the blessing had flowed to Abraham, and now obviously was coming over to Isaac. And so the servant, he believed Abraham because of the track record of Abraham's faith in God. It stuck in my mind, and I'm not saying that this is what happened, but when Abraham, if you remember the portion of scripture where Abraham is tested by God and said, now take Isaac, thy son, thy only son, and go up and sacrifice him before me. For those who don't know the story, God was not going to allow Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. But God wanted Abraham to know that he was so dedicated, that Abraham loved God so much that he was willing to lay down the life of his only son. But if you remember, he went up into the mountain ready to sacrifice his son. He thought he was going to do that. And he took some young men's servants with him. And he said, wait here until we come back. We're going to make a sacrifice there. I've often wondered who those young men were. Could it have been maybe the same servant now years later because Isaac has grown up? Just wondering, it stuck in my mind. I don't know if I'm not saying that scripture. It just stuck in my mind. But they must have known. They were up there and must have wondered, where is he getting the sacrifice for this? Because if you remember, Isaac carried the wood just like Christ carried the cross. Many people make an analogy of that between Christ and Isaac. But that just stuck in my mind that this servant, having been with him all these years, had seen the blessings and the faithfulness of Abraham. You can trust in a man that is that obedient. So he knew the obedience of Abraham. The servant obviously had yielded his heart to the things of God, both to Abraham and to God. Whatever you want me to do, Abraham, I'll go do it. Now, God, Abraham has called me to do that. You have to prosper me in this way, and I believe that you will. So he was trusting in God to lead him and to direct him. He was a praying man, obviously, for he prayed that very prayer, that God would lead him and direct him and guide him. And he was a man that also had an expectation in his heart. I believe that's one of the keys to receiving from God, having a heart of expectation. Some people just blurt out a prayer and never believe that God's going to do anything about it. And they're like praying into the air. I think you've got to pray to God, amen? And you have to expect that God will answer. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it, of course. And I taught the young people this. God does the things that he has already prepared to do for you that is working in your path. I asked the young people yesterday, I said, the Bible said that if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So does that mean you can fly like a bird? They all said no. Does that mean you can breathe underwater like a fish? And they said no. Or does that mean you can eat straw? Are you going to eat straw like a cow? And they said no. But God will give you all things that he has prepared for you. It's being in the will of God is doing what God would call you to do. I had a discussion with Richie the other day that some people say, when you think of that scripture, that they can ask anything that their hearts desires that really is not for them. Oh, God, who wouldn't want to fly? Anybody want to fly out here? I love to fly. I used to dream of flying. But it's great to be able to fly. But that's not for me. I'm not supposed to fly. God's going to give me my heart's desires. You know what my heart's desire should be? To glorify God. If your heart desires to glorify God, God is going to give you the desires of your heart. And he'll show you, and he'll bless you in many other ways in addition to that. But he was a man of expectation to receive the guidance of God. So what is being in the way? I being in the way the Lord blessed me. Why, it's the Lord's way. It's being in the way that the Lord is moving. That's what it's to be in the Lord's way. And that's what God wants you. He doesn't want you to be in your own way. He wants you to be in the Lord's way. It's the pathway that God has prepared for you, and He has prepared a pathway. The path that God has planned, that God's perfect will. Now, I believe that God has a perfect will and a perfect path for every man and every woman, but not everybody is following that path. Does the Bible say that God would have all to be saved? Yes, it does. The Bible said that He would have none that would perish, but all that would be saved are all saved. No, not all have come to Jesus Christ. So, not everybody is walking in God's perfect will. They are not trusting in the Lord with all of their heart. And so God is constantly reaching out and saying, follow my perfect will. But many people are not doing that. Some try to manipulate the plan. Well, Lord God, if I do this, could you just let me have this? Or let me just have this one designer sin. You know, I'm having a tough time over here. If you just let this one slide, I'm going to do all the other good things that I can do. That's not what God wants to do. And some people just openly defy God and say, I'm going to go out and do what I want to. I'm telling you, you're going to pay for that. You're going to pay for that with the pain of lack of fellowship with God. Some people want God to get in their path. They don't want to get in God's path. Who here wants to get in the path of God? That's the path I want to be on. But sometimes we just want God, come on over to my path here. You follow my, and I'll just tell you which way you should go. You know, I mean, some people don't want to get in the way. They're just in the way. I don't want to get in God's way. I want to get out of God's way so He can move in my life. And that's what God wants to do. God has a perfect plan for you. He's working things together for good. So how did the servant look for guidance? First of all, he had directions from a trusted man of God. So we have direction from the Word of God. We have trusted men of God that were spoken to by the Holy Spirit. And now that very Word can guide us. And we have our brothers and sisters in Christ that can give good, godly advice. You can look at people in this congregation and say, this person is following the will of God. I wonder if I can ask them to give me some insight on what direction God might have me take in this endeavor. And I believe that there is good, godly counsel that we have, both from the people of God and from the Word of God. And then he sought out God in prayer. Some people's prayer life is nil. They have no prayer life. They don't spend time with God. And if you don't spend time with God, you're not going to know God's direction. And then you're going to bemoan the fact that, oh, I don't know God's direction. Well, you don't pray. We have to pray. We have to seek God. We have to seek the face of God with all of our hearts. And he prayed specifically. He didn't just pray that God was going to prosper his way when he went over to Mesopotamia, but that God would bring a specific girl that he'd ask to get a drink, and she would give the drink and offer to water his camels along. We should pray specifically. If you have something going on in your life, pray specifically about that thing and trust God to work it out. Don't just throw out a shotgun prayer. You've got to use a rifle for this. You've got to shoot a single shot. Say, Lord God, this is my heart's desire. And set your mind on that. He trusted that his prayer not only was heard by God, but would be answered by God. I love what it says in Genesis 24:49. And now if you will deal kindly and truly with me, my master, tell me, and if not, tell me that I may turn to the right or to the left. Sometimes we're praying to God about a specific thing, and we're insisting on that specific thing. But then God moves in our heart, and he starts to say, look, I want to take you in a different direction. If God's going to take me in a different direction, I want to be able to go in that direction. So the servant said, okay, listen, I really honestly feel that this is of God. But if in fact you won't give Rebecca to go back with me, let me know now that maybe I made a mistake here, or I didn't hear God the way I should have, and I will go in a different direction. But they affirmed the fact that it was of God. So I'm telling you, don't be afraid to be directed by God to a new path. But do believe that once you've got the mind of God, you're going to stand and hold on to that tenaciously. God wants you to do that. We've heard the phrase, go with the flow. Well, I don't even go with flow. Go with God. Go with the flow of God. I believe in going that way. But go the way God will direct you. You can sense that. The more you are in God, the more time you spend with the Lord, and the more years that you dedicate yourself to the Lord, God will show you a pathway. Do you believe that? God will direct your path. And all the way acknowledging He will direct your path. I kind of hope so. Let go and let God, they used to say. Yes, let go of your own desires, your own will, and let God direct the way that you should go. Being in the way, as I said, doesn't mean getting in the way. It means being in the way that God would direct you. And that is the beauty of resting in the Lord and trusting in Him with all your heart. I found sometimes when there a glitch comes in the way that I have planned, if I will praise God and adjust to the situation, I usually am led of God. But sometimes when things don't go my way, I might even get a little grumpy and a little complaining. Has anybody out there ever complained when things happen? You're no good, rotten people. I am telling you, this takes time. It takes planning. It takes a heart that says, okay, I'm going to prepare for the unexpected. And if it doesn't go my way, I'm going to let God work the situation out. You're going to give yourself such ease of heart rather than be anxiety, having filled with anxiety when something doesn't go your way. A scripture, one of my favorites also, says, thou shalt keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. Thou shalt keep me in perfect peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. Thou shalt keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed or thinking about thee. For the person who wants to not be at peace, you want to not have peace, then keep your mind on the situation and get upset when something goes wrong. Oh, no, look at this. Nothing ever goes right for me. Has anybody ever said something like that? You're probably right. It never goes right for you. Because the right thing is to trust God even when things seem to be out of place and out of whack. Trust in the Lord. He's going to bring it to pass. That's what God wants to do. So when the time comes that I say, okay, I'm going to trust in the Lord, and so you really have to bring yourself into that place. I love what Paul said. He said, putting your body under you. So meaning that you put the flesh under you, you will not be controlled by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You will not be controlled by your old nature. You will not be controlled by your reactions. But as soon as they happen, you're going to put your foot on it and say, I'm not going to be controlled by this fleshly spirit. I'm going to trust in God. And when you do that, oh, I hope you get a chance to try this. When you say, okay, I'm going to trust God. The Bible says to trust Him. That thing happened that I didn't want to happen in this situation. I'm not even going to think about it. I'm going to keep my mind's eye stayed on Him, and God's going to keep me in perfect peace, and He's going to work all things together for good, for I am the call of the Lord. And then you rest in the Lord, and He brings it to pass. So the servant was totally confident that God was going to work this out somehow, some way. And as much as he thought it was Rebecca, even if it wasn't Rebecca, still God was going to work it out and bring a wife for Isaac. And that's what I want to encourage you in today, to look for divine direction. In everything that you do, let God direct your path. You've got to be open to that. You've got to be thinking about it. You've got to be concentrating on it. It can't be something that just says take up and put down. There's a couple places in the Bible that really encouraged me. After Paul was struck down on the Damascus Road, blinded, and for those that don't remember, Paul was the most, called Saul at that time, was the most vicious attacker of a Christian faith, hauling people into prison, and maybe had seen them thrown to the lions or whatever, that he was there when Stephen was stoned to death. But he was struck down on the Damascus road. Christ spoke to him, and so go into Damascus and stay there till I tell you what to do, tell what I'm going to do with you. And there was a man named Ananias that lived in the same town, and God said to him, go to the street called Straight, and there you'll find Paul, for behold, he prayed. And the man was guided and directed. That's the first time you hear of this Ananias in the Bible, and the last time, I think, we hear about him. But he was called at that moment because he was open and willing and ready to go and do what God had directed him to. So God will speak to you if you are open, willing, and ready for his guidance. The interesting thing was that Ananias even questioned God. He said, I've heard that he's done a lot of things against the Christian faith. And God said to him, he is a chosen vessel of mine. And so God affirmed him, Ananias, to go and follow what he had said. Then I love the place where he says there, when Peter was, the sheet was let down from heaven. This is on his way to Cornelius' house. He was staying with one called Simon the Tanner. And Cornelius had seen a vision and said, send the Joppa for Peter and tell him to come back here and tell you words that will give you life. And so Cornelius sent these two servants, and Peter was up praying and had a vision of the sheet coming down, and it was to show that the Gentiles were going to be included in the church of God. But the voice said, a spirit of God said, there are two men downstairs, go with them doubting nothing. And so Peter just packed up and he went. He went with them, and that is where the Gentiles came into the faith by receiving Christ at Cornelius' house, a host of people there. God is speaking, and many people think that it's just the special people. It is the special people. It's for those that seek God with all their heart. If you want to do this at the pastime, it's not going to be what God is going to have to really beat you down to lead you. But if your heart is open to be led by God, the offer is there. The offer is there. That if you will be open your heart, God will lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he will direct your path in all that you do. So we see the beauty of the success of a servant going out 500 miles from his home, happening to just land in that place, that fountain of water, and happening just to see a Rebecca coming up and happening just to go to the house, and they just happen to be able to say, go with them, and Isaac comes back, marries Rebecca. And the beautiful thing about this is this was the plan of God, because through Isaac and Rebecca, Jesus Christ came. It was in God's plan. They merely had to follow the perfect will of God and not turn away from who God was directing them to. So I encourage you this day that God has a perfect plan for your life. You can either choose to walk in the perfect way, or you can walk in your own way. If you walk in your own way, you will not receive the blessing that God has prepared for you of walking in the perfect path of God. May God bless you this day with a revelation of following him in all that he gives you to do. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you glory this day. I pray, Lord God, that these words would sink into our spirits, Lord God, that we would be guided and directed in the things of Christ, that we would be willing servants of yours, Lord God, to go and to be led by the Spirit of Christ. We bless the people this day. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you've given us. We dedicate our lives to you afresh and anew. Bless this people in Christ's name. We thank you, Lord.